time for high adventure.
Shark time. Hand-to-hand combat. Big wave surfing.
For the next 60 minutes, join us as we load the bases for an expansive, exciting life.
Formula One racing. Skydiving. Crab fishing in the Bering Sea.
Stop striking out with a life that's dull and listless.
Hit a home run with the men's dugout.
And now, live from the AM 830 studios in Angel Stadium, broadcasting over 50,000 watts to Southern California, it's the Men's Dugout with your host, Tara Grace.
Hello, Southern California. You're dialed into Superstation AM 830 and the Men's Dugout. This is Men's Adventure, Lifestyle, and Fitness, the ultimate destination for men getting the most out of life. I'm your host, Tara Grace. As usual, we are broadcasting live out of Angel Stadium. We have another absolutely smoking show for you guys today. Joining me in studio is the ultimate adventure man from Fox Sports West. He also kicks off the weekend programming here on AM 830. Ronnie Kovac, hello. Welcome to the Men's Dugout.
Good morning, Tara. Thank you for having me in.
We also have on my starboard side, Rudy Carino. He is a rabid sports connoisseur and has perfected the art of tuning out female interference during a game.
Good morning, Tara. Great to be back.
And, of course, Mark Milan, the real estate man, Mr. Catalina, and Mr. What do you do with your dollars to keep them so that they're multiplying rather than drying up, which seems to be a problem for a lot of people these days.
It's a big problem. Thanks for having me, Tara.
We've got lots of great prizes to give away for those of you with quick and clever answers. The numbers to dial are 877-883-0830. We're going to be giving away a pair of lift tickets to Big Bear Mountain and Snow Summit. They're celebrating 20 years of terrain, park, and snowboarding. Real snow, real close. We're going to be giving away a trip to Catalina.
Oh, yeah.
And a pair of $100 Novato hiking boots.
And also a, I think it's about $150 Cosa del Mar polarized sunglass also.
I love those sunglasses.
Well, you don't get them. You have to give them away.
Darn. Folks, we have an amazing lineup for you today, as usual. They don't call him man's best friend for nothing. I didn't know it, but dogs have recently been found to be able to detect cancer and alert their owners to oncoming heart attacks, seizures, and dangerously low blood sugar. Sharon Saxon's going to be joining us and telling us about her experience with the cancer and biodetection with dogs in England. Also named Sports Person of the Year, along with her brother, we are going to be graced with the presence of Abby Sunderland. You remember her brother, Zach, was on the show last summer when he came in to Marina Del Rey after completing the youngest to circumnavigate the globe, an absolutely amazing feat. Well, Abby's planning on doing it without ever setting foot on land. She's going to do this
wild
straight. She's also going to be joined with her father, Lawrence, who obviously has been very influential in both of them doing these incredible adventures. Also, we have security expert Robert Siciliano. Robert did something pretty gutsy in order to demonstrate that we don't have a lot of security in terms of our identity. He went and bought on eBay an ATM machine and garnered thousands of people's credit card information. You've seen him on CNN, ABC News. He's going to tell us how to avoid having somebody. And Ronnie, you're actually familiar with this problem yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, I actually was identity compromised and became the poster.
In one of the safest cities here in Southern California?
Well, I'll say what it was. It was in Huntington Beach, and formerly it was rated the number one safest city in the United States by the police chief's organization, and this was at a in an area that was not only guarded with security but also cameras, and then I later became the poster boy for an identity theft company.
And it's not only can you have your financial life taken away from you if somebody goes out and commits a crime using your identity, you can find yourself arrested for all kinds of things. So we're going to hear more about that later in the hour.
It's the number one growth area in crime these days. As a matter of fact, many of the people that are involved in the drug cartels are turning to identity theft because it's a lot less messier.
You know,
you get a higher return on investment.
There's some brilliant minds in that world.
Yeah.
I once had my wallet lifted in Grand Central Station. This was years ago. And it took me, I think, an hour and a half to realize what had happened and to call it in. My next phone bill was about an inch thick. And they used every single second calling, you know, every Hong Kong, Guatemala, and it was thousands of dollars on my bill. I couldn't believe it. And
next time you'll fly.
Have you ever had that happen to you, Mark?
Oh, I have. And the theft part, these people spend so much time being thieves. If they spent half that amount of time working, they could be rich.
That is exactly what the phone company said to me.
I bought a building, and it was under construction. And 3 days later, I went back to it, and there was a massive pile of rubber on the floor. And I didn't know what it was from. And then I realized they had pulled every wire out of every wall of the building and spent 3 days stripping
so they could get the copper
out. And I'm thinking, if I worked that hard at anything else, I could be a billionaire.
Might as well have a copper mine, right?
it was amazing the lengths that these people will go through. And all they've got to do is go to work, and they'd make more money.
Right. Well, you're a hardworking guy. Anything that you say on the subject of business, I'm going to listen to. Okay. Joining me right now is somebody who is very familiar with what Man's Best Friend is doing, and also a very interesting program that they're involved is veterans helping other veterans. And by training dogs, they're helping rehabilitate people that have been exposed to war-torn areas. Sharon Saxon, welcome to the Men's Dugout.
Thank you.
So you've done something very, very interesting. You've gone over to England and actually studied biodetection with dogs and what they do to help their owners in the event of their owners either having a heart attack or low blood sugar. Give us some background on this, because I think we all know, we've heard about animals that when they get separated from their owners, they'll traverse thousands of miles and find their owners. So we know that they've got heightened senses well above and beyond human beings. Tell us about that.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. But at the Biodetection Center, they are some of the first to have trained dogs to find cancer in urine samples. And what they were trying to do is...
And this is prostate cancer, which is a huge problem for men.
That was their specific goal, because the test to find prostate cancer is so fallible, and up to 30% of the time is wrong. And the doctor involved in the study was really looking to see if there was a better way to detect it.
30% wrong. That's every guy's nightmare, being told you got prostate cancer when you don't.
Exactly. And he found that the dogs were incredibly successful, much more successful than the laboratory tests, at picking out patients who had cancer. And eventually one problem they ran into is that the dog would alert to a sample. And they went back and they tested the guy, they took his blood, and they did a biopsy, did everything they could, and then they came back to the trainer and said, hey, the dog's wrong, he doesn't have cancer. And they decided, well, let's check again in 6 months, and in 6 months he did.
Wow, he got it even before the guy was clinical.
Exactly.
A dog precursor.
Yep. When do you want to find cancer? At the earliest possible stage.
Well, being an acupuncturist, we, in my practice, look for problems before they become problems, and that is a huge benefit to people, because you really don't want to wait until it shows up on a lab test if you can get healthy quickly.
That's right. And the research going on now, there's been skin cancer research at the University of Florida, and there's a big breast and lung cancer study with dogs going on in San Anselmo, California.
Wow. You talked, Sharon, about a boy that was on the football team and ended up coming down with seizures. And this was a really amazing story, because seizures can really wreck somebody's life, not knowing when they're about to happen and when you're going to potentially become incapacitated and unconscious. And these dogs were actually able to sense before the seizure happened and get the young boy some medication before it actually happened.
That's right. That's Mitch Peterson of Indiana. And he really lost his normal life when he got an illness that was causing these seizures. They were happening every day. So the trainer from Canine Assistance trained the dog to respond to seizures. They will always tell you that they cannot train to alert, because you can't fake a seizure. You're having one or you're not. So they trained the dog to bring medication when somebody fell down, to bring a bottle of water, to bring a telephone, to go for help. the dog knew all these different behaviors to respond if somebody seemed to be in trouble. They put the dog together with Mitch, and the dog from the first day crossed over and could bring him the medication before.
Which, in the case of a seizure, is everything, because if you're having a seizure, you can't even give yourself medication.
That's right. And the result has also been that he's having 70% less seizures, and they think that's attributable to the fact that he's not worried about it anymore, and stress is what really causes it to intensify.
That's so incredible. Sharon, what kind of response are you seeing in people as you give interviews and tell people about what these amazing creatures are doing?
It has amazed me because I thought these alert dogs were very few and only from these highly trained centers where they're working with them. As I started to spread the word, I keep hearing from people about their own dog who alerted them to cancer. People have told me, she was sniffing a spot on my leg, and she kept licking it, biting it, and I thought, what's going on? She's never done that before. But for that reason, they went to the doctor. The doctor, generally doctor looks and says, I don't see anything wrong, because skin cancer does not always show itself. But the dogs have been finding places on the body where the person has cancer, and only because they get to the doctor with that dog's diagnosis are they having their lives saved.
I love it. They don't call them man's best friends for nothing. We really have to give our canine companions some serious credit here. You mentioned a program, because I know dogs have been used to help convicts. The act of caring for a dog allows it so that whatever mental, emotional problems a convict might have, they're less likely to go out and commit more crimes. They're more likely to get out of the system by being a nurturer and caretaker of a dog. You mentioned that veterans are now using dogs to help other veterans.
Yes, that's right. Because one of the primary injuries from Iraq and Afghanistan is loss of a limb, since these IEDs are blowing up. And those men need help. They might be in a wheelchair, or they might need lights turned on. And dogs are able to do those things. But what happened is that at the Bonnie Bergen University in Santa Rosa, they completed the circle by taking the men who were emotionally wounded, who were suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, having those guys train the dogs. So that gave them something to do and something very useful, and they were training the dogs to turn on lights, pull wheelchairs, bring a bottle of water, bring clothing, 90 commands that a service dog can learn.
Wow.
And when placed with a veteran, he doesn't need a nurse anymore. He doesn't need a caregiver. He has some independence.
Wow, and a true friend.
Yes, absolutely.
Hi, this is Ronnie. I'd like to share kind of a personal anecdote, and that's with the phenomenon of these rescue dogs, which is what you're talking about. And a member of the family suffered a catastrophic stroke. She was in a coma for five days. It was a hemorrhagic stroke. It was very, very devastating. And 45 days in the hospital, the family tried to convince the hospital staff to bring in the pet dog, because we had read about the way that the dog is able to, particularly in these neurological injuries, well, any injuries that has trauma, that the dog could provide at least some type of respite from the trauma and the emotionality that had happened. So going into the hospital, and I won't name which one it is, but here in Orange County, California, we couldn't get a pass for the dog. And so finally I went up to the head of security, and he said, well, your dog doesn't have a badge. Your dog needs a badge. And I'm saying, well, my dog don't need no stinking badge. And the security guard...
He wasn't
guard,
born with a badge, guard, I ain't bringing a badge.
Security guard with, you know, right there in this major hospital. He said, no, he said, your dog is not a rescue dog. I said, sir, let me explain something. I said, my dog's made 300 jumps behind enemy lines in Iraq and Afghanistan. I said, my dog basically has been used to bring not only supplies, ammunition, and explosives, but also relief to a lot of prisoners that have been traumatized there. I said, my dog has already made 300 combat jumps, and you're telling me that she can't come here into this hospital? He says, Suri said, I had no idea. Go right in.
That's great.
And you know, those therapy dogs are doing such a good job. Just recently, I've heard of a case where there was a man in a coma, and he finally was put into a nursing home because he wasn't coming out of it. He just required daily care. Therapy dog person decided to bring the dog in and put the dog on his bed. When he eventually woke up, he told them that he knew the dog was there.
Yes, I've seen it.
And real quickly, in our last few minutes here, Sharon, aren't they also used in old folks' homes to help? I mean, because as people are aging and coming up with all kinds of health issues, the presence of the dog really makes a difference in terms of their happiness and their functionality.
It's amazing that when you come home to see your dog, you get a lowered blood pressure, reduced heart rate, wash of oxytocin, the feel-good hormone, because you like your dog, you know your dog. But you take the dog to the old age home, and he does the same for people who don't even know him, as long as they are dog people, they like dogs. And it's been shown that these visits, which sometimes only once or twice a week, boost the morale of the patient and also lower their need, in some cases, for blood pressure and other medications.
I was going to add one more thing that might be kind of interesting, because right now there's a lot of, in the holistic medicine is the need to have your body's alkaline instead of acidic, because cancer cannot grow in an acidic environment, at least in theory, from some of the early research done back in 1932. And it would be kind of intriguing, because they show that certain emotional conditions actually trigger an acidic condition in the body, and certain conditions outside conditions trigger an alkalinity in the body. I would love to see some studies done when dogs are introduced to just see if the whole body chemistry, not just the propensity to find cancer cells, but also if the actual body chemistry from acid to alkaline is shifted by the fact that that dog comes in, and perhaps, who knows, maybe energetically it's creating something between you know, the two energetic bodies.
Makes sense to me. Sharon, we really appreciate your joining us here on the Men's Dugout. People can find out more about you on healingpowerofdogs.com. Is that correct?
That's right.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing with us what our canine companions are doing for everybody out there. And we need to take a quick break. Folks, don't go away. We've got a smoking show lined up for you today. We've got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these quick words.
Well, I bought them for you.
Homeowners, if your monthly mortgage payment has increased and you're having difficulty, don't wait. Call your mortgage lender immediately. They might set up payments that meet your budget. For more expert financial counseling, call Consumer Credit Counseling Service of Orange County, a nonprofit company servicing Southern California residents for more than 40 years. The number is 866-491-2227, 866-491-2227, or log on to www.cccsoc.org.
Hey, it's Big G, and here's what you missed on The Drive. It's the voice of the Lakers, Spiro Dedis.
Nice to talk to you.
Spiro, just how good are the Lakers going to be this year?
This Lakers team is even better than it was last season. That's a scary thought. And, you know, Andrew looks like he's making some real strides, and now it's time.
Let's give it up here for Torrey Hunter.
Hi, what's up, fellas?
What do you got lined up here for the short offseason?
Some bad golf.
Can you talk to Soshi during the games?
I'm always in Soshi's ear, man. Hey, why you doing this? Why you do that? And he's like, Torrey, get away from me.
Don't miss The Drive, 3 to 7 on AM 830.
Experience the rush of a face-to-face encounter with a great white shark in custom-built cages at Guadalupe Island. Thrill to the interactions with giant mantas and hammerheads at the Socorro Islands. The Solmar 5 offers remote adventure diving at its finest. Solmar 5, with 17 years of experience serving over 10,000 guests, you will enjoy unmatched service and the finest amenities. Expect the adventure of a lifetime aboard the Solmar 5, where wilderness is the ultimate luxury. Dial 866-591-4906. That's 866-591-4906, or online at solmarv.com. That's solmarv.com.
What's up with that? Gotta go buy. That's right. What's up with that? Gotta go buy. Vacation condo rentals. Maui, Hawaiian Islands, Mexico, Cancun, and a whole lot more. $450 to $850 depending on the dates. 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units available. Call 562-305-1059 or send an email request to AUUUNOLD at yahoo.com, and I'll send you my current 30 to 60 day check-in list. What's up with that? Gotta go bye.
Folks, welcome back to the Men's Dugout live out of Angel Stadium. Men's adventure, lifestyle, and fitness, the ultimate destination for men getting the most out of life. I'm your host, Tara Grace. I am flanked by Ronnie Kovac, adventurer extraordinaire of Fox Sports West. Hi, Ronnie.
Tara, again, it's your life. I'm just passing through.
I've got sports enthusiast Rudy Carino and Mark Milan, the real estate man, here in studio. Joining us now is an extraordinary person. Actually, Ronnie, you know this person too.
I think I've known him.
If you had to sum up this person in a few words, what would they be off the top of your head?
Well, I've often seen dogs as angels in fur. If I had to describe Alan, I would say he's an angel from the Bronx.
This fellow is truly extraordinary. He's had a reputation for everything in life that he touches turning to gold. He has managed fighters. He has performed music. He has run nightclubs and restaurants that have been exceedingly successful. He was a Wall Street mogul who, at the height of his career, had 35 securities firms working underneath him. At the pinnacle of his financial career, he was pulling down $700,000 a month. That was in the 70s when I think that would be equivalent to about $2 million a month now.
Well, I mean, the guy's, he was making more money than God.
More money than he could spend.
Right.
And one would think that, okay, if I had $2 million a month, if everything I touched turned to gold, and, you know, you'd think you'd have no worries in the world.
You know, more importantly, I mean, this is a guy that, he was like a modern-day wise guy. And he went wrong. His ego and his separation from good led him down the path of greed and the rush and everything, and ends up doing some serious time in the joint. The guy comes back, and I mean, he's an inspiration for every alpha male out there.
He was very unhappy. Well, we should not talk about him while he's not here. Well, Alan, welcome to the show.
I mean, who are we talking about here?
are you gushing and blushing, brother? Well, a lot of man love going out there, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, from two of my favorite people in the world now.
Alan, actually, I met him last year when he was on the show. He's the author of Maximum Security.
Yeah, he was in The Joint.
The True Meaning of Freedom.
The True Meaning of Freedom. The book is amazing. And the first time I spoke to Alan, we were scheduled for an interview, which I think was supposed to be 20 minutes. It went by like 5 minutes. He's got a way of looking at things and life experience that you just want to know more, because somebody that's gone from having achieved what we all think is total success, total wealth, climbing the big pyramids, being successful, you know, married, kids, beautiful home. And Alan, what did it feel like for you at that time in your life?
What you mean, after the fact or?
No, when you were at the pinnacle of your money-making career.
Death.
Felt like death.
Yeah.
And we all look at people who we think have it all and think they're happy and think they're successful. And Alan, would you describe that as success?
Well, you know, when you're seeking things in your life, all your life, and you're running from your own fear, and you come up with angles and scenarios that you think can end the pain that you feel, the fear that you feel, the loneliness that you feel, and you get them. You have them, you're holding them, and that was the answer, and it turns out not to be.
I've heard that from more than one person who has reached incredible success, and that was very, very scary for them, because as they were climbing the ladder, they thought, well, I'd just be happy if this, or if that, or if I scored this deal, or if I had this money, or if I had this boat, or if I had this house. And then once they had it all, they were miserable.
Well, you know, Tara, that's the whole issue here. The whole issue is that, you know, we keep reaching outwardly for things that we think can answer our happiness. And, you know, the one teaching in my life that changed it all for me was when my meditation teacher, a master from India, said that how can you possibly get anything lasting from something that's not lasting itself?
And I need to share with our listeners what was the turning point for you. You, at one point, needed to continue your very lavish lifestyle and turned to buying and selling drugs. And at a very sensitive time when they were very harsh laws, you actually got sentenced to 15 years to life in maximum security prison.
Right.
And tell us some of the prisons that you were in. Sing Sing was one of them.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. We want to give them some props and some endorsement here.
You want to endorse the New York State prison system.
We want to get those brands out there.
Well, I started out probably at the most outrageous one of them all, which was, or one of them, which was Rikers Island.
Excellent.
Yeah, what a place to be. You know, my first night in prison, never been in
prison. Do we have a Rikers Island ad coming up in the next rotation?
No, but I mean, he's going to go through the Nike, the Adidas, and the Reebok of prisons here. And I think we want our listeners to understand. I mean, he went top shelf when it comes to prisons. I mean, he wasn't like he was in the Orange County Jail. I mean, this guy went... Alan, I mean, in some ways, congratulations. I mean, if you're going to go to prison, why not go, you know, top shelf?
I've got to say...
You know something about that night that I was there? They put me in a cell at the top tier.
There you go.
In the middle of the night, at about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, the lights went on, screams were heard all over the prison. I hear footsteps thundering up the stairs coming towards, I thought they were coming towards my cell. And it turns out they went to the cell right next to mine, that a young kid, 21 years old, had just committed suicide.
Wow.
And hung himself with his own belt.
Yeah.
That was my initiation into the first night of, as you said, Ron, at one point, the dark night of the soul.
Absolutely. So we got Rikers, and then Attica was in there too, right?
No, I went from Rikers, then I went to a place called Downstate, which was opposite Fishkill, which is a kind of a reception center where they cut all your hair off, and they make sure you have no bugs on your body, and they put you through all kinds of psychological tests, and then they send you upstate, where you do the maximum of my sentence was life. So I went to a maximum security prison in Eastern Correctional in New York, stayed there, came back down through Fishkill, and then to Fulton Correctional Facility by way of Westchester County Jail.
Rudy, I mean, as a sports guy, let me say, these are like Division I ratings he's given here for prisons. I mean, and they have their own football teams and things like this, but I mean, you know, let me just say something here. PBS did a special a while back that we talked about, and it was on happiness. And they interviewed some guys that were prisoners of war. I mean, literally Vietnam prisoners of war. I mean, the guys, I mean, you know, whatever you think of John McCain, you know, Republican, Democrat, you know, got beat by Obama, made arguably a poor choice in Sarah Palin. But the bottom line is, in my opinion, John McCain was a real man. He spent about 8 years in the Hanoi Hilton. I mean, he came out, and look what he's doing now. I mean, this guy gives me chills. I mean, this man is a warrior, irrespective of, you know, whether he's a good senator or not, or a good presidential candidate. But they talked to some of these pilots that were incarcerated in the Hanoi Hilton for this long time, and every one of these people, almost to the man, that was incarcerated as a POW in another type of prison, but in prison nevertheless, said they would not trade that experience for anything in the world, Alan.
Ooh, I have to chime in there for a second. My father was one of the first correspondents past enemy lines when Hitler lost his power, and he went into the concentration camps and got to talk to these prisoners, and they said the same thing. And
Viktor Frankl.
That was just astonishing, right, to me. They said it was the worst experience they ever went through. They wouldn't go through it for anything again. But they also wouldn't give up that experience for anything.
Let me just say something, because I had the blessing of hearing Alan speak last week in person. And Alan talks about, it doesn't matter whether you're in the Hanoi Hilton or you're in Rikers Prison in New York. Alan communicated to a lot of us out there, and particularly to the men that will listen to what he's talking about. We create our own prisons in our mind. Right, brother?
Absolutely.
Alan, you told this wonderful story about a man. Now, you were sentenced to 15 years to life, which is incredible. But you saw somebody in the yard. I think it was 2 or 3 years after you were in prison, and you saw him pacing up and down and talking to himself and ranting and raving about all the people, because he was about to be released in a week or two, about all the people he was going to get even with. Tell us your story about that.
Well, you know, it was it was an afternoon that I went out. It was about, I had been meditating in the prison yard for about almost 3 years, and my life had completely changed. And I was feeling really, really good inside about myself. And I got to a place where, you know, I wasn't thinking about getting out, and I wasn't thinking about being in. It was kind of, I was very so much connected to myself. I was, so, you know, like we say when we're kids, I got to get my act together. I want to really get connected to myself. I want to feel good about me. Well, that's where I was. And I'm sitting up in the bleachers, and I'm looking out over the mountains. It was a beautiful day, and there's this inmate next to me. He's going off. He's ranting and raving about a snitch who set him up, and an attorney who misrepresented him, and his wife who betrayed him, and all kinds of things. And I'm looking at him, and I'm seeing the bitterness and the anger, and he's talking about getting back out into the world again in a couple of weeks and settling up the scores that he felt of people who had wronged him. And I'm saying to myself, my goodness, this guy has got his freedom back, and all he can see is his own anger and his own bitterness. And he was going to take that right out back into the world with him again. And I'm sitting next to him, and I've got 13 years left on my sentence before I even get a shot at seeing the parole board, with no guarantee I'm ever going to get out of prison ever again in my life. And I'm feeling happier than I'd ever known. And, you know, the message in that for me was, in that moment, I recognized that the outer world and every single thing in it, gun towers, relationships, money, sex, and rock and roll, have absolutely nothing at all to do with the quality of your own experience of this life.
Amen.
Hey, Ellen, what about, like, we've had a tragedy, just a global tragedy in this last week in Haiti, and even at the Big A today, Red Cross is out there with their vans, and they're looking for donations, so anyone out there listening, driving around, slide by the Big A and give a donation and help out the Red Cross. But how do... Alan, I'm looking at it. I have grief myself about the tragedy of the people and that they're suffering. And one step further, if I could just think about how, if we were one of them, how can they look to that inner peace? How could they? They're sitting there trying to figure out where the rice is coming from tomorrow for today's dinner. They didn't even have any rice yesterday. What kind of insight do you have there? What can you lend us?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Ronnie. And you know. And it goes back to the very issue that we're talking about here.
Thank you.
And
gave credit to Ronnie, but it's actually Mark. But I'll take credit.
Oh, Mark,
for
I'm sorry.
It's
you
okay.
Guys sound alike.
Mark's our real estate mogul from Catalina Island.
But good
yeah.
point. But
yeah, you
go
know,
ahead.
One of the things that we were talking about just recently, you know, on the show was about how, you know, we continue to look outside for answers, and they're just not there. And one of the reasons why a prison is such an incredible environment for transformation is because if we look out into the world, out into the hostility, the fear, the whatever it is, the temptation that the world is out there bringing to us, we run into dead ends consistently. And in prison, it's absolutely epitomizes this, because trying to face your own self in the worst horror possible is so hot. You're left, when so difficult, you're left with only one option, and that's to turn away from the outer and to go inside yourself.
I'd like to comment on that. I'd like to bring Mark in here for a second, Tara, if I could. Both of you guys, okay, Mark, you haven't been in the joint, but
no.
Again, you may be in the prison of your own mind like I have honestly been
sure,
many times.
Sure.
I talk about
that. By the
that.
Way, Ronnie, that's the only prison that there is.
The prison of the mind, right.
That's right.
And a young guy like Rudy, you listen up here, brother. I'm telling you something. Okay, Mark, you're in real estate. You are
sure.
the real estate man. You've
sure.
made money, you've lost money.
Correct.
Alan, you made money, you lost money, you dealt in real estate too. Let's just bring it up to a contemporary time here. And again, God bless what we're doing to help the Haitian people. I understand it. Let's bring it home right here in Orange County, where this is a real estate mecca, where fortunes are made and fortunes are lost. Mark, what he's talking about here, like the guy sitting in the yard wanting to be revengeful.
Right.
In the world of high power finance, deals go bad. You get burned. People basically betray you. And there's that potentiality for turning outward in that rage and that resentment and that anger. This is what I'm talking about. And, I mean, could there be such a thing as holistically making money the right way from a spiritual foundation, whether it's in real estate or something else?
Great question.
Yeah, and I definitely think that there is that avenue. And you know, you got to watch the negative. Seems it's that dark power, how it comes over you. I have a lady right now
exactly.
in one of my properties, and she hasn't paid the rent in 5 months. She's down about $12,000, and it really hurts me. I feel it every month when I'm making the mortgage and I don't have that contribution from that unit. And she won't leave. She finds every way to appeal. This is a nightmare, if you will, of what can happen in rental. And out of 100 units, if it happens once every couple of years, you know, it's the odds. But what I found yesterday was myself turning in anger, in fact, two different days in a row, towards this lady, okay? And all it does is make you dark and black on the inside. It doesn't solve the problem yet. She's still in the property, and ultimately I hope the courts see the right way and do the right thing. Instead of what's your question, like altruistically looking how to make money, I can see that the loss of the money and when the people are hurting you, it makes you turn angry, just like the fellow in the courtyard getting released in a couple weeks that Alan's talking about. And it's like, yeah, he wants to get back at his ex, at his attorney, at the snitch. He wants to get back at everybody. He's filled with all this anger, but it doesn't take us forward.
And that anger is fear, because Alan talks about this in his book, Maximum Security. He talks about in his talks, on his CDs. It's basically you got two wolves that you get to choose to feed, the wolf of love or the wolf of fear. It's your choice. And what happens here is Bruce Springsteen, okay, Alan produced a lot of doo-wop, and he knows I'm into the Boss from the Jersey Shore there. I got relatives still living in Palisades Park right across from the Bronx. But Springsteen talks about this in a song. He says, fear, it will turn your heart to black. And that's what you're talking about, is that darkness and that blackness. Alan, your comments.
Well, yeah, I'm glad we're talking about this, because it comes down to, another fundamentally important thing for all of us to listen to. And that is, we in business and in the world of finance and money and satisfaction and serving our own pleasures, we get trapped in that drama. And what's really important to understand is it's not about what we get, it's about our state. And, for example, we were just talking about anger at somebody who didn't pay the rent or whatever. That anger can be directed outwardly towards somebody. That vengeance can be directed outwardly towards somebody. But the person on the other end of that, depending on their state of awareness, can accept that anger or just not choose to accept it and not be affected by it. But, and this is the most important thing for everybody to understand, when there is anger directed outwardly, it fills us first and foremost every time. Our life, our joy, our happiness, and our success is compromised every time our state is not coming from a place of the heart.
I'd like to mention something here. Alan said something at this talk the other night. And, folks, the reason we keep having Alan on the air is because I've had the privilege of being able to interview some of the leading authors.
No, but actually, his credentials with the prisons is one of the best we've ever had.
No, but seriously, I mean, both Ronnie and I have witnessed that this guy sees things in a way that is so clear it melts away things that are irrelevant and things that are getting in our way in life.
Well,
hey, Tyler, let me ask you a question. How can we expect to feel happy when we're angry?
How can we
expect to feel the love and the joy in our life that we're looking for when we're busy poking vengeance and trying to hurt somebody else on the other end because they felt they hurt us.
But most of us feel so trapped when something happens to us that we experience pain, displeasure, we've been dissed, we've been hurt, we've been, you know, our money's been taken away from us. We congeal so quickly into anger or fear, and you said something that blew me away, and it really took me a long time to process it, and I had to ask you several questions about it. You said fear was congealed love.
Right.
And I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? Ronnie, what did you think of that?
Well, it's really important. I mean, fear really is love incubating in your heart. That's where it's in, not in your head. It's in your heart, your soul. And the brother's saying here that it's trying to get out. It's trying to break out. And I just want to say something.
Ronnie, it's more than incubating. Fear is love because ultimately, and you go, again, we talked about this the other day, even quantum physicists understand that when you turn every substance of this universe inside out, the substance is made of the same thing. There is no other. And we all know from the scriptures that God is love and love is God, the universe is one, all of these great lines. But the bottom line is, if God is love and all there is God, what else could there be but love?
Well, I'm going to tell you something because I'm a student of the scriptures. And if you go to the New Testament, Jesus does not say once, and you go back to even some of the books with Norman Vincent Peale, Reverend Peale, he said Jesus never said once anything about sin. It was all about love.
Of course.
In the New Testament. And I just want to emphasize something. For some of you guys out there, some of my brothers out there, especially you alpha guys, that, you know, you're busted, you've had bad deals, you're out of work, and maybe the relationships suck. I spent about maybe 35, 45 minutes with this man one-on-one in a separate counseling session. And you're going to go to things like life coaches and business coaches and your shrinks, maybe ministers or whatever, and you may pay fortunes. Alan, I'm not sure if you're set up for this. I think you are.
He is set up, and he's very popular.
Well, what I would tell you guys to do, listen out here, is save your money and invest in this guy right here because he understands, and again, I offer this to my sisters out there, this guy understands what a lot of us have gone through in this economy. He understands the dark night of the soul where things look so bleak, all you can do, you ask yourself, how bad does it have to get? Just like Job. All right, just like Job, I mean, or just like Jonah, how many fish do I have to be swallowed by? He gets it, guys. I'm telling you, the guy's been in the joint. He understands what real misery is.
I have to tell you, it is amazing, and I have had the privilege of seeing Alan speak to, I would call them wayward teenagers. They're in high schools. They're, you know, having drug issues and run-ins with the law.
That's the definition of teenager. I don't know.
Well, there's teenagers
and tweens.
Well, I was going to say there's teenagers in Beverly Hills and there's teenagers in other areas, but you know what? Even the Beverly Hills kids are getting into horrendous trouble.
Without a doubt.
You know, there's a beautiful, it's a beautiful little conversation going on between a guy who's really unhappy, and he calls upon the divine grace. He calls on God to give him some answers, and he asks God, why is it that sometimes I'm happy and sometimes I'm not? Why sometimes my children are respectful and sometimes they're not? Why does my wife seem to love me at one time and other times we are fighting with each other all the time? I have money sometimes and sometimes I can't even pay my rent. When is it that I'm going to experience the grace and the love that you talk about so much? Please help me. And to his surprise, God responds to him. And you know what he says? He said, listen to me. I am everything. Everything is me. And when I created this universe, I created it with the only material, the only substance that I had available to me. That was my own being. So all the love, all the strength, all the power and wisdom, the happiness and joy that I have, I gave to you. Because the only difference is that I know it and you don't.
The scripture is all that the Father is. I am.
That's right. We're all the same being.
You know, and it's one thing to talk about this because we've all heard these words before. I'm telling you, to see Alan talk to a group of teenagers that are disenfranchised, unhappy, using drugs, getting in trouble with the law, and have him communicate with them and have them wake up a little bit and then go into a meditation, which is just allowing the mind to be quiet so that they can commune with this energy that they are.
That was my next thing, Tara, to say that is the key to the kingdom.
Meditation, which is just allowing the mind to be quiet.
Wait a second. I know Alan can't stay on the whole show, but I know Rudy's going to be talking about this.
Can we take a quick break, and then we'll come back to Alan in just
a
moment.
Alan, don't go away, brother.
Yeah, this always happens with Alan.
Alan, I'm telling you, I want to talk about Phil Jackson here in the NBA and a little bit of guns. And meditation, Alan. Stay right there.
Folks, this is Alan Gompers, author of Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom, a man who has done so much in a lifetime and has so much to teach us all. Folks, if you want clarity, I would highly recommend getting in touch with Alan, because my opinion is you will accomplish more in 30 or 60 minutes with him than you will in weeks, months, or years with other people. We'll be right back after this quick message.
I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way.
What's up with that? Gotta go by.
Work? Stress?
Golden sunsets on the beach. You need a vacation. Maui, Hawaiian Islands, Mazatlan, or other relaxing vacation condo rentals. 1 to 3 bedroom units. Call 562-305-1059. Great destinations, 450 to 850 depending on dates. Email requests to auuunold@yahoo.com, auuunold@yahoo.com, and receive our current 30 to 60 day check-in list. What's up with that? Gotta go by.
Everybody has soul, but in the whole automotive world, there's only one motorized soul. It's the all-new 37-mile-a-gallon Kia Soul. Well, the magic money-saving number at Fullerton Kia is 98. $98 down or $98 a month. You name it. Optima, Rio, the sporty all-new Forte, Rondo, Borrego, Sedona, Sorento, even Sportage. $98 down or $98 a month. Not a lease. You own it. Every new Kia at Fullerton Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Anaheim, I'm talking to you. Costa Mesa, can you hear me? Whittier, what are you waiting for? Any new Kia, any model, any color and equipment combo, including the all-new Kia Soul, $98 down or $98 a month. Just north of the 91 on Commonwealth between Harbor and Euclid. Own any new Kia, including the all-new Kia Soul, $98 down or $98 a month. Just one place, Fullerton Kia. Of course. Kia, the power to surprise. On approved credit, see Fullerton Kia for complete details.
AM 830, the home of the Ducks, and the drive to the 2010 Stanley Cup. Tonight, the Flames are in the Honda Center to meet the Ducks in an international face-off. Game time tonight, 5 p.m. Steve Carroll and Dan Wood give you all the live play-by-play action. Every face-off, every victory.
The shot scores!
Is Southern California's 50,000-watt home of the Anaheim Ducks. Ducks, Calgary, tonight at 5 on your exclusive home for the Ducks, AM 830.
Adventure, lifestyle, and fitness, the ultimate destination for men getting the most out of life. I'm your host, Tara Grace. We are talking to Alan Gompers, author of Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom. This is an extraordinary man who's lived many, many lives, packed in many careers and experienced many successes, and didn't find peace and happiness until he found himself terrified in prison. In maximum security prison with 15 years to life. I would like to add, Alan actually got put away for an ounce and a half of cocaine.
An ounce and a half?
An ounce and a half of cocaine. I don't know about you, but I've been around the music business, and I think those guys went through that in a day.
Careful,
doesn't sound like a quantity, but I don't know.
Careful. You're not endorsing that, but we know that. But let me ask a question here with Brother Alan about this thing with most recently... strip bars, pit bulls, NBA, NFL players, and guns. Which one of the four don't go together? I mean, you've been in the promotional business, and now you got Gilbert Arenas, and he's packing. I mean, I don't know if he's packing like a Smith & Wesson Model 29 with a 6-inch barrel, or whether he's got something, smaller like a 45 Glock. But the bottom line is the brother's packing. And now, here are these guys making, $15, $20 million a year. I mean, and now I'm just asking this, and I don't know if there's any correlation here. Now, you take a look at the Lakers, and Rudy, I know you love your Lakers, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. Phil Jackson's very heavily into the same thing Allen's into, and that's meditation. I mean, you know, and he,
the
and he,
Zen
and,
master.
Right, and he's taken his players, and he's had everybody from Lamar Odom to Kobe Bryant to Paul Gasol to Derek Fisher. He's had to even young Jordan Farmer. They've all been meditating. I don't see my Lakers packing a piece in the locker room there. Allen, is there any correlation, you think?
Well, you know, I think the I think your statement is a little bit loaded, don't you think?
Well, I don't know, but that's why they call
you should pardon the expression.
But that's why they used to call them the Washington Bullets.
Well, you know, he started it with Michael Jordan, actually.
Right.
And you know, and Jordan wrote a book called For the Love of the Game, and he talked about that and had never won a championship, and Jackson came into the locker room and said, "I'm going to show you guys how to do it," and he gave everybody a book on meditation. But you know, this whole practice of meditation is just people have a mystique around it and an understanding around it. Simply not true.
And we would like to demystify that. I have been recommending meditation to my patients for 15 years.
You know that. You know, Tara, that's the reason I wrote my book. It's the reason I created my CD, is so that people can. You know, it's an invocation for people to go to the one place in their life that can give them what they've been looking for. What Plaxico Burroughs did by shooting himself in the leg, and what's his name, Gilbert Arenas, walking around with a piece on him. It's a cry. It's an unconscious cry, because what he thought he had, he's making $20 million a year, whatever it is, Burroughs also, and all of these great plays, Michael Vick with the Dogs, they haven't found what they're looking for in being a celebrity and being extraordinarily wealthy and having the crowd and the fame and the fortune and everything. There's a piece missing.
Absolutely. We had NFL super agent Tank Black on the other day, and we, you know, part of his job was just to keep these guys out of trouble, because you get all that money, you get all the fame, you get all the women, and you got a recipe for disaster.
But you know, Tara, it's not about having all the money and fame and everything else. It's having all of that and recognizing in yourself at a deep level, most of the time unconsciously, that this is not giving me what I want.
But you know what? I'll let you say something else about this meditation, because Alan talked, and he's into rock and roll. Well, he's into basically the three things that men like most: money, power, sex, or in rock and roll and baseball and basketball. But you were talking about the great hitter, you know, Ted Williams. Mm-hmm. And Ted Williams was indeed, guys, listen to this, he was in that meditative state when he talked about not only being able to see the ball, but to actually see the seams on the ball when it was coming in, whether it was a slider, a curve, or a fastball. He could actually see it. And then many, many years ago, there was this book written called The Inner Game of Tennis, followed by The Inner Game of Golf. Mark, you've heard the books?
I know the books.
And what it was they began to look at the art of visualization, which is an extension of meditation. But you've got to get into that meditative state before you can actually visualize. And that's what's happening with these athletes that are in. We talked about it, you know, you talked about it in your talk that night. You're in the zone.
And that's what it is. It's always like being in the zone.
In the flow.
And it can be doing anything. And people aren't always in the same one at the same time. You can be out on the greens and you just can't miss a putt and you're in the zone.
I mean, you look at Kobe Bryant. I mean, this guy here and Jordan, and they are in the zone. I mean, if they are basically disciples of Jackson's practice of meditation, then I think they've got something we all want to catch, Alan.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is that Jordan said in the beginning when he first started meditating, he would get into the zone in the game, but he did not know how to carry it over into his life. And, you know, meditation, again, to demystify it, is not sitting in a corner somewhere, closing your eyes and going off into some otherworldly, weird place that's not connected to the universe. It is just the opposite. It is being so grounded, so connected, so present in the very moment that you exist, that you see everything clearly. You see everything through pure, beautiful, perfect eyes. You see the world as it really is. You see everything unfold. Your discrimination and clarity get so acute that you can see not only what's in front of you, but everything around you and beyond that. Your expansion and consciousness becomes so powerful that you become almost, well, you feel almost invincible. And you are, because that part of you, there's a part of you inside that is never lonely, never unhappy, never afraid, and is forever. It is eternal.
And there's some real-world practical application to this. Well, it's everything as far as real-world practical application. But, you know, somebody might think, well, meditation's just for relaxing and, you know, being a little less stressed. But it actually can be critical to mastering some of life's most challenging situations. Alan, we talked about the situation where you were in prison, and, you know, you're not a big guy, and there's some guys twice your size in there, very tough, willing to take a life, lifers, and one of them at your beginning stages of being in prison there pushed a package in your direction and said, here, take this from point A to point B. And it was really gripping to read this in your book because, you know, what were you to do? You refuse, the guy could kill you. If you accept, then you become his little slave to do whatever he wants.
He becomes the guy's ditch, which rhymes with another word.
Yeah.
Which we're too polite to use in the air here. And so that was a huge dilemma. Tell us how being in the centered meditative state, which prize-winning athletes use, allowed you to successfully navigate that situation.
Well, you know, what happened in that situation, unbeknownst to me, was, you know, through the practice of meditation, you become more and more connected to yourself, to your true self, to who you are, to that part of you that is not afraid and can do things that you're not even aware you can do. And it happens a lot of times in the beginning retrospectively. In other words, your life is changing, and sometimes something has to happen for you to realize how much your life has changed. And in that moment, my normal response would have been, oh my God, this guy is crazy. He's he's been in prison for 25 years. He's notorious for being violent, and there he is sitting in front of me asking me to take a package of dope up to the cell block. And refusing
him. Alan, I want you to hold that cliffhanger moment when you had to make this decision. We're at the top of the hour. We have to take a quick break here. We'll be right back after this, folks. Folks, we're talking to Alan Gompers, author of Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom, one of the wisest human beings that I personally know, and his information is just good as gold. We'll be right back after this quick message.
Smell of shrimp there,